From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. With House and Senate negotiators in agreement on key provisions of the federal education bill, the way seems clear for President Bush to sign finished legislation in the next few days. But as NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports, the challenge for states and local schools charged with carrying out the new mandates is just beginning.
The 39-member congressional committee that crafted this education bill calls it the No Child Left Behind Act. Its message is this: no state will be allowed to ignore the plight of students in dysfunctional public schools. Congressman George Miller, Democrat of California, is one of four key lawmakers who shepherded the legislation through Congress.
The reason we have this federal bill is because the governors historically have had less targeting of the resources on poor minority children than the federal government. We were not going to turn this over to a bunch of governors.
Miller says the federal government had to step in, just like it did in 1965, when Congress first promised to help needy school children.
This is a serious effort about turning around the educational experience of poor minority children in this country. I think it will benefit all children if that happens.
This time, though, the federal government has broad new powers to sanction poor-performing schools and mandate testing of students. It provides a record $23 billion to schools, most of it to struggling districts with large concentrations of low-income children. There's more money for teachers, early reading programs, technology, bilingual education, and after-school programs. The Bush administration fought to keep the spending much lower, but it did not want to risk losing Democrats' support for key reforms, namely mandatory testing in reading and math every year beginning in grades 3 through 8, a breakdown of test results by race, gender, and income, report cards rating the quality of every school, more options for kids in failing schools, and greater freedom for states to spend federal aid the way they want on one condition, that they close the achievement gap between rich and poor students. This could transform public education in America, says Amy Wilkins, a policy analyst with the Education Trust, a group that advocates for low-income school children.
There is this pervasive and ugly and damaging myth that somehow low-income kids and kids of color are less intellectually able than, you know, white kids or more affluent kids. And in passing this law, that was one of the biggest hurdles we had to get over, is that it's worth investing in these kids. It's possible to hold these schools accountable.
Here's how the bill does that. It allows children in schools with flat or declining scores to transfer to a better public school or to receive tutoring and other instructional services from private and religious organizations. As many as 3,000 public schools could be red flagged next fall for failing to make what the federal government now considers adequate yearly progress. Although 22 governors quickly endorsed the bill, the cost to states could spell trouble. State officials consider the $3 million the federal government is giving to each state to help pay for mandatory testing, for example, as inadequate. They feel the same way about the money for teacher training. The bill has set a 4-year deadline for states to make sure that all classroom teachers are adequately trained and competent to teach in their field. Unrealistic? No, says Congressman Miller.
Those unqualified teachers aren't teaching in the wealthy areas of my district. They're not teaching in the wealthy areas of the state.
Miller, however, plays down the fact that many states, including California, have put enormous resources into teacher training, yet huge shortages persist. Today, President Bush had nothing but praise for Congress's work on the education bill. The president is expected to sign that bill sometime next week after the full House and Senate vote on it. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News, Washington.